Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. It's good for us to be together on this beautiful day to worship the Lord. If you have your Bible with you this morning, go ahead and take it out and go over into the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. We want to begin our sermon by reading some verses, beginning with verse number 15, Ephesians 5 and verse 15. I do want you to know that those of our brethren who had on their way to Dominica did make it there safely. And from what I can see through Facebook, that things seem to be going well for them over there. So let's make sure we keep them in our prayers as they do God's work over there in Dominica. I want to begin by reading Ephesians 5, beginning with verse number 15. I want these verses to really just set up what we want to talk about in our study this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Brothers and sisters, I want you to allow those verses to just soak in your heart, just simmer in your heart for just a moment. You know, this year, as a congregation, our shepherds here have challenged us as a flock in our commitment to Jesus. They challenged us to be all in for Jesus. They challenged us to make sure we're serving Jesus with all of our hearts. That's the challenge that's been put before us this year as a congregation. And hopefully by now, you've been able to see that from this pulpit, we've tried to consider that subject from a variety of different angles. For example, this year, we've had lessons from this pulpit about being all in our worship to God, and all in our service, and all in our faith, and all in our spiritual growth. We've had lessons about being all in when it comes to respecting the authority of God, and how God authorizes through His Word, and how God gives instructions through His Word when it comes to this theme of being all in. I hope you can see that we've tried to consider it from many different angles. But you see, one angle we have not yet touched on has to do with what Paul is talking about here in these verses. I want you to notice how in these verses we just read together, how the Apostle Paul talks about time. Did you notice that? Paul talks about time in these verses. He tells us that when a person comes to Christ, when a person decides to be a follower of Jesus Christ, their time is not their own. Instead, it belongs to Him. It belongs to Christ. That's what Paul says here in these verses. He says that when a person comes to Jesus, they make a decision to give Him the ultimate say and what they choose to do with their time. They choose to give Him the ultimate say with what they do each and every day. We give Jesus the ultimate say in our time, but I guess the question is, what exactly is time? What is time? Well, time is a precious, fleeting commodity, isn't it? Time is kind of like money, in that you can't have enough of it, or you can't have too much of it. I mean, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but there are several days in the week when I find myself just laying in my bed late at night, and I wish I had more time. I wish I had more time to do the things I needed to do because I couldn't get them all done on that day. That ever happened to you before? You ever laid in your bed and wish you had more time? I don't know about you, but to me, time is one of those things that we can't have enough of. You can't have too much time, and yet, unfortunately, so often we waste our time, don't we? Unfortunately, so often with our time, we waste it on doing things that are really not that productive. We waste it doing things that are really foolish and that's very unfortunate. That's unfortunate because time is valuable. And in fact, time is one of the most valuable things that we have in our lives. Time is one of the great blessings that God gives us in this life. And the Apostle Paul says that we got to make sure we're wise with our time. We got to make sure we're wise with our time because in the big scheme of things, like with everything else we have in life, our time really doesn't belong to us. Instead, our time really belongs to God. You see, our time really belongs to God, since God is the giver of time. That means that all time really belongs to Him. It is His time. It is His world. These are His days, His hours, His minutes, His seconds. God is the one who really owns time. And Because if that's the case, we got to make sure we're good stewards of our time. We got to make sure we are good stewards of the time that God gives us each and every day. The question is, are we, are you, am I? Are we good stewards of the time God gives us? Let me ask you a question. What do you do? What do you do with your time? What do you do with your time each and every day? You know, I'm pretty sure that if you are the average American, then your daily schedule looks somewhat like this. If you're the average American, then each and every day you probably get up and go to work. I'm pretty sure that the majority of people in this room, you have a job. You have a job you go to each and every day. You have a job you go to so you can make some money to take care of your family. And so you go to work every day. And you also got to pay bills, don't you? And you got to get groceries. And you got to pick the kids up from school. And you got to clean your house. And you got to do yard work. And you got to make dinner. And you got to help the kids with their homework. And you got to help them make sure they go to bed on time each night. I'm pretty sure that if you're the average American, your daily schedule looks somewhat like that. And if you are a young person here, if you're a young person, just a few weeks, I'm pretty sure that your typical day will look like this. Your typical day in a few weeks will be you getting up early to go to school. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but school's going to be starting real soon. You got to go to school. And afterwards, you got to maybe go practice for a sport, right? And then afterwards, then you got to go home and you got to do homework. And then you got to have dinner. Then you got to shower. And then you got to find some time to talk with your friends through social media or texting, right? I mean, does a typical day look somewhat like that for you? Does the average day resemble that in some way? Well, if it does, then I'm going to suggest to you this morning that something is missing. And if those are the highlights of your day, each and every day, then I want to suggest to you that you have a problem. We have a problem. We are not really doing what the Apostle Paul says here in Ephesians 5, and that is making the most of our time. And so this morning, I think we need to address this a little bit. This morning, I think we need to find some biblical solutions when it comes to this problem. You see, if we're going to be all in for Jesus when it comes to our time, if we're really going to be good stewards of the limited amount of time that God gives us in this life, then I want to suggest to you that we got to make sure that we do three things every single day. There are three things that we got to make sure we do every single day if we're really going to do what Paul is talking about, and that is making the most of the precious blessing of time. And so let me give you those three things very quickly, and we're going to be done. Number one, I want to give you this right here. First, I want you to consider the fact that if we're going to make the most of our time every day, well, the first thing we got to make sure we do is, number one, we got to make sure we make time for quiet moments with God. Time for quiet moments with God. I got a preacher friend of mine in Texas named Benjamin Lee, and he likes to put it this way. He likes to use the acronym TAG to describe this. Do you know what TAG stands for? TAG stands for time alone with God. You see, every single day, we got to make time to be alone with God. You see, if we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up with the affairs of everyday life that we neglect doing this. If we're not careful, we can neglect making time to be alone with God. For example, we can neglect doing things like daily Bible reading. You knew that was coming, didn't you? Let me ask you something. You been doing that? You been doing your daily Bible reading? Believe it or not, we've already reached the middle part of this year. We're already into July. And where are you when it comes to reading the New Testament? I mean, have you been carving out time each and every day to make sure you read that one chapter? Have you been doing your Bible reading? Are you ready to start Luke chapter 15 tomorrow? You've been doing your Bible reading. I want you to go in your Bibles to the 119th Psalm, please. Go to Psalm 119. That's towards the middle of your Bible, almost the exact middle of your Bible. Psalm 119 is a very interesting chapter, not only because it is the longest chapter in the Bible, but also because it is devoted to praising and exalting the Word of God. That's what the whole chapter is about. And so can I just give you a sampling of that? I want to read several verses here from the 119th Psalm. I want to begin with verse number 9. In Psalm 119 in verse number 9, It says, how can a young man, and young people, I really want you to listen to this carefully. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it according to your word? With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. I want you to drop down to verse number 50. Look at verse number 50. In verse number 50 of the chapter, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word, the word of God, has revived me. I want you to drop down now to verse 100. Psalm 119, verse 100. He says, I understand more than the aged. They understand more than older people. Why? Because I've observed your precepts. Look at verse 105. Verse 105, your word, the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want you to drop down to verse 130. Verse 130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And they drop down to verse 160. In verse 160 it says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. What I just want you to notice here is I hear the psalmist is talking about the benefits and the blessings of God's word. Do you see that? He talks about the benefits and the blessings that the word of God can bring into our lives. According to the psalmist, the word of God can help us in so many different ways. For example, the word of God can teach us what sin is and how to avoid sin. It helps us keep our way pure. It comforts us when we're down. It gives us wisdom, even in the days of our youth. It revives us spiritually. When we are spiritually dead, the Word of God brings us back to life. He says it's a light for us. It's a lamp to our path. That is, it shows us the way to go. It shows us how to navigate our way through this dark and sinful world. And he also says it's truth. And he also says it's everlasting and it's eternal because its source is an everlasting and eternal God. You see, these are some of the benefits that come from the Word of God. These are some of the blessings that the Word of God brings into our lives. But if we don't read it and study it every day, guess what? We don't receive those benefits. We don't receive those blessings. We don't feed ourselves with the spiritual nourishment we need to survive in Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of what Jesus says in Matthew 4 and verse 4. There Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Notice how Jesus says the word of God is food. The Word of God is spiritual food. It is spiritual bread that we've got to make sure we're consuming all the time. According to Jesus, making time to read and study God's Word is critical to nurturing our relationship with Him. You see, making time to be alone with God includes making time to read God's Word, but not only must we make time to read God's Word, we also got to make time for prayer. We got to make time for prayer. I hope we can all agree that for any relationship to really work, for any relationship to really be fulfilling, then the communication can't be one-sided, right? I hope we can all agree that for solid relationships, for healthy relationships, for healthy marriages, if you're going to have that, then that's got to be built on some good communication. You've got to have good communication for a relationship to really work. I hope we can all agree on that. And in the case of God, that means that not only must we make time to allow God to speak to us through His Word, but we also got to make time to speak to God. We got to make time to talk to God. And someone says, well, how do we talk to God? Well, we talk to God through prayer. God talks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. But we speak to Him through prayer. We communicate with Him through prayer. So let me ask you, do you make time for that every day? Do you make time to pray? If so, how often do you pray every day? How often do you do simple things every day, like pause for just a few moments and go and find a quiet spot somewhere just so you can talk to God? How often in your day do you carve out time just to tell God that you love Him and that you are thinking about Him and that you appreciate Him for all the wonderful things He does for you in your life?
God? How often do you tell God that you understand the truth about Him? You understand that He's real and that He's awesome and that you need Him in every aspect of your life. How often do you talk to God? How often do you pray to God? As you think about that, I want you to think about a couple of people in the Bible. I want you to think about David. You know David, right? Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here this morning who's a king by chance? Is there anybody here who's a queen? Anybody here who has the responsibility of ruling an entire nation of people? Do we have anybody like that here this morning? Well, since Charlie is gone, I'm pretty sure we don't, right? We don't have anybody here like that. We don't have anybody here that has that kind of responsibility each and every day. You see, David was a king, wasn't he? David was a ruler of a mighty nation of people. He had a responsibility to delegate and do so many things every single day. And even though he was the king, even though he had an extremely busy schedule, he always made time to tag. He always made time to be alone with God. And I want to show you that from the Bible. Are you still in the Psalms? Go to Psalm 5. Psalm 5, look at verse number 1. In the 5th Psalm, in verse number 1, David writes this psalm. And in Psalm 5, verse 1, he says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to you," verse 3, "in the what? In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch." Notice how David began his prayer, his day every day with prayer. Do you see that? Every day, the first thing he did in the morning, he prayed to God. Now go to the 63rd Psalm, Psalm 63. Look at verse number 6. In Psalm 63, in verse number 6, here David says this, again it's David, and he says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." Notice you have David, he's thinking about God on his bed at night. He's thinking about God at night. Now go back to the 119th Psalm again. Psalm 119, look at verse number 148. And here in Psalm 119, verse 148, I believe David is writing this, and he says in verse 148, "My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." What I want you to see is how despite all he had to do every day, his whole day was about finding quiet moments with God. Do you see that? He prayed to God in the morning. He studied God's word in the evening as he awaited the night to come. And he thought about God on his bed before he went to sleep at night. David always made time for God. He always made time to get away and think about God and talk to God and allow God to speak to him through his word. And if that's not enough to convince you when it comes to this, I want you to now think about Jesus. You know, I'm pretty sure that many of you here, at least most of you, you have a busy schedule, right? You got a lot of stuff to do every day. I'm pretty sure of that. But let me tell you something. I promise you, no, I guarantee you that no matter what you got going on every single day, your schedule doesn't come close to that of Jesus. What do you think about Jesus' schedule? Jesus had to travel all around Galilee by foot. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a bicycle. He walked all throughout Galilee preaching the word of God and performing miracles, doing things that superseded the laws of nature, and that led him to being constantly mobbed by hundreds and hundreds of people. Haven't you noticed that in your Bible reading? I mean, nearly everybody wanted a piece of Jesus. Every single day, people wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to hear him. They wanted him to do something for them. He was constantly surrounded by people who admired him. But don't forget about those enemies. Don't forget about those men who hated him, and they followed him, it seems like, from place to place, trying to trap him in his words. And he always has to debate those guys. And also, don't forget about those apostles. Don't forget about those 12 men who, for the most part, they were very spiritually immature, aren't they? They're always in competition with each other, and Jesus has always trained them and teach them, and he's got to prepare them for the work they got to do once he's gone. You see, Jesus had a ton of stuff to do every single day, and yet even though he had a very full schedule, notice what the Bible says he always did. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Let's start reading here. Matthew 14 and verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. Matthew 14, 22 says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went on the mountain by himself to do what? To pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Notice how Jesus, even though he got people around him all the time, he gets away from them. He finds time to get away from them to go to a secluded place so he can pray. That's what we find him doing. Now go to Mark chapter 1. Look at Mark chapter 1. I want to show you verse number 35. Mark chapter 1, verse number 35. Mark 1:35 says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, notice how we're talking about very early in the morning, it's still dark outside, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a secluded place, and was what? And was praying there. Jesus started his day with prayer. Now go to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to my Bible now to Luke chapter 5. In Luke, the 5th chapter, look at verse number 15. Luke 5, verse 15. It says, but the news about him was spreading even further. Notice how popular he's becoming. And large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Again, he's finding time for prayer. Now look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, before appointing his apostles the very next day, Jesus did this in Luke 6 and verse 12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. The whole night in prayer to God. I just want you to notice how, despite all he had going on in his life, despite the fact, unlike us, he was sinless, Jesus always made time for prayer. He always made time to talk to God, and if Jesus did that, how much more do we need to be doing that? You know, it is interesting to me that when it comes to things like Bible reading and prayer, we'll complain and we'll say things like, well, you know, I'm just really too busy. I struggle with that because I'm just too busy every day. I mean, come on, I don't have time to do this Bible reading. I'm too busy with my job. I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy doing stuff with my kids. You see, so often we complain about not having enough time to be alone with God. We say, I don't have enough time, and yet when it comes to posting pictures on Facebook or texting or watching Fox News or CNN or watching sports, or going to the movies, or getting a little overtime on our job, for some reason when it comes to that kind of stuff, oh, we got enough time for that, don't we? We got enough time for that kind of stuff. And why is that? Why is it that we struggle with reading a chapter from the Bible reading and struggle with prayer, but we don't struggle with that? Maybe it's because the real problem, has got nothing to do with time. Maybe the real problem has to do with a lack of having the proper priorities. Maybe the problem has to do with the fact that we're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Maybe that's the real problem. Would you agree? That's the real problem. That's why we really struggle with finding time to be alone with God. And so I think that needs to change today. We got to change our priorities today. We got to understand that if we're going to do what Paul is talking about, and that is making the most of our time each and every day, we got to always make time for those quiet moments with God. We got to find time to be alone with God, but not only do we got to find time to be alone with God, secondly, I want to show you now that we also got to find time to be with our children. Time to be with our children. Let me ask you a question. What did you do with your children last week? Think about that. What did you do with your children last week? I'm really sure that you spent some time with your children, right? For example, I'm pretty sure that you spent some time with them all on July the 4th. I'm pretty sure that on that national holiday, you went outside and you grilled some food with them, right? You went outside and watched some fireworks. You went outside and you laughed and you took selfies and you had a good time together, didn't you? I'm pretty sure that there's some people here who last week with their children, they went to the movies with them. They went to Walmart with them. They had breakfast and dinner with them. Maybe even to go on vacation with your children last week. Maybe there are some fathers who Peter who last week they went outside and they showed their children how to throw a football. You play catch with your children. Or you showed your children how to shoot a basketball. Or you showed them how to have a better technique in throwing that baseball. I'm pretty sure there's some fathers here who did those kind of things last week. And let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. There is nothing sinful about that. But let me ask you this now. Last week, did you do the things that really matter the most with your children? Because we live in evil days, as Paul says. Because we live in a time when the devil is always thinking about our children, and he's always assaulting our children, and he's always looking for different avenues that he can use to steal them away from God. Because we do live in days like that, did you do the things that matter the most in the lives of your children? For example, did you pray with your children last week? Did you make sure you talk with them to God last week, every night before they went to bed? Did you help your children do their Bible lesson? Did you even take the time to know what they were taught in the first class of the quarter? Do you even know who the Bible class teacher for your children is? Did you talk with your children about the personal problems they may be having in their lives, and that you help them find Bible solutions to those problems? Did you talk with your children about spiritual things? Did you talk to them about the love of God and the love of Jesus and how God is the source of their blessings? Did you take time last week to entertain any Bible questions that your children may have? Did you do the Bible reading with your children last week? Are you holding them accountable to that Bible reading? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul says that fathers ought to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. An Old Testament equivalent passage to this is found in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to my Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And here Moses, before the people of Israel finally go into the promised land, this is not long before he dies, he has something to say to parents, Israelite parents. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Verse 7, "You shall teach them," notice that, "you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Brothers and sisters, I hope you can agree that it takes time to do what Moses is talking about here. It takes time to do what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6, where he says we ought to bring up our children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. It takes time to do those things. Like with everything else valuable in life, if we're really going to raise children who love God, who want to serve God, who want to be soldiers in the army of God, if we're going to raise kids who are going to do that as adults, then we got to invest our time right now. We got to be willing to invest our time reading the Bible with them, teaching them the Bible, praying with them, and talking about God with them. The mission of trying to raise faithful soldiers of God, that mission requires a huge investment of time. It really does. And some might say, "Well, Sean, I hear what you're saying, but you don't understand. I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy to read the Bible with my kids. Are you kidding me? I'm too busy to pray with them. I'm too busy to do a Bible lesson with them. I'm too busy for that stuff." Well, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, my friend. But again, remember what you did have time to do with your kids last week. Remember last week you did have time to play sports with them. And you did have time to go shopping with them. And you did have time to go to the movies with them. And you did have time to go barbecue with them and watch TV with them. You see, when you take a step back and think about all the things you did have time to do with your kids, I think you see where the problem really is. I think we see that the problem is not really with not having enough time. The problem is with priorities. The problem is failing to understand that in the big scheme of things, we only have a small amount of time with our children. I mean, before we know it, guess what? They're going to be growing gone. I mean, when I first moved here almost 5 years ago, you know how old Shawn Michaels was? He was 2 years old. He was almost the age of faith, and now he's seven. Can you believe that? That time is flying. It's going by really, really fast. We are on very limited time as parents. And we got to make sure we make the most of it. We got to make sure that we understand that the best thing we could ever do for our children is not teach them how to throw a baseball. It's not teach them how to shoot a basketball. No, the most important thing that we could do for our children is put in their hearts the Word of God and do our best to help them go to heaven. That's the responsibility that we have been given. And we got to make sure we make time for that every single day. If we're going to do what Paul says and make the most of our time, we got to make sure we tag. We got to make sure we make time to be alone with God. We got to make sure we make time to invest in the spiritual nourishment of our children. But then third and finally, I want to leave with this. We also got to make time to help other people. Got to make time to help other people. Now, we just finished talking about making time to help our kids, right? But let's just be honest about it. That's really not that hard to do, is it? I mean, it's really not that hard to help our children with the important matters of life. Why? Because they're our children. Because they're our blood, because they are the ones that we know we have a responsibility to raise up and take care of and provide for. It's not really hard to alter our priorities a bit and make sure we do the important things for our children. That's not hard to do, but we got to understand something. We got to understand that beyond our children, but beyond those who may not be part of our physical family, God wants us to have other people. God wants us to help people who may not be part of our physical family, but nevertheless are still supposed to be important to us. And when I think about this point, I can't help but think about Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 10. Look at verse number 38. In Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, as the Apostle Peter is preaching about Jesus to the household of Cornelius, in Acts 10 and verse number 38, Peter says this. He says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Notice how, according to Peter, when Jesus was on this earth, he went about doing good. Do you see that? He went about helping people, teaching people the gospel, and healing those who were sick and oppressed with the devil. Peter says that when the Lord was on this earth, he used a lot of his time to help other people, to serve other people. And I think we can agree that as disciples, we need to strive to be like Jesus. We need to strive to be like our master. We need to strive to be like our king, like our King Jesus. We also need to use the time God has given us to help other people, to serve other people. In Luke chapter 10, if you remember, Jesus told a parable. You should have read this recently. The parable of the Good Samaritan, right? Remember, in that parable, you got this Jewish man who was beaten and robbed and left to die, and two of his own Jewish brethren wouldn't stop and help him. They wouldn't help him, but this Samaritan, this foreigner, he made time to help this man. He bandaged up his wounds, and he took him to an inn and paid money so the man could be helped. He used his time to help this man, and Jesus said, we need to be like him. He said, you need to be like that man. And then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, remember Paul says that while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, to all people, and especially those of the household of faith or the family of God. And then go to Matthew 25. I want to show you something here in Matthew 25. And I know this is going to be a lengthy read, but I got to read it. I have to read all of it because I want to show you something here. In Matthew 25, and I want you to look carefully at what's going on here. We got to read this. Here I believe Jesus is talking about what's going to happen on the judgment day when he comes again. And remember he says when he comes again, he's going to separate the faithful from the unfaithful like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Remember that? Well, look at verse number 34. In verse 34 of Matthew 25, follow me with this. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from the accursed ones into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to them, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. How often do you think about this? And what the Lord is really saying here, when you consider the judgment day. Again, here I believe the Lord is talking about the judgment day. I believe he's talking about what's going to happen when we all stand before him and have to give an account. Notice how when we stand before our king one day, one of the main things that he's going to be focused on is if we served other people. Do you see that? If we helped other people, if we show love and concern for other people, Jesus says that this is something that is very important to him as the king, and that's important to him. I think it should also be important to us. In fact, I know it should be important to us. I know it should be something that we need to make sure we're using our time for every single day. With the time God gives us, we got to make sure that we're not just using it for ourselves. We got to use it for other people. We got to use it to visit sick people and those bedridden. Got to make sure that we keep a copy of that sick list in the bulletin near us at all times. And make sure that we're always making time to pray for those people. We got to make sure we make time to grieve and support those who have lost loved ones. We got to make sure we make time for hospitality and looking for opportunities outside these doors to get to know each other better, and we got to make time for the lost. We got to make time to seize those moments God gives us to go through an open door so we can have a chance to win a lost soul for God. You see, these are the kinds of things that we have to make time for. These are good uses of our time. But someone says, wait a minute, Sean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't have enough time for that. I don't have enough time to visit sick people. I don't have enough time to go to funerals. I don't have enough time to do a Bible study with my neighbor. I mean, and then why we hired you? And then why we hired a preacher? So I don't have to do that kind of stuff. I don't have time for that. Well, my friend, let's think about what you do have time for. Let's think about how you do have time to get on Facebook 15 to 20 times a day. Let's think about how you do have time to watch your favorite TV show every day. Let's think about how the football season is about to start pretty soon. You're going to have time to watch your favorite sports team play every single week. Right? You see, when we take a step back and consider all the things we do make time for, brothers and sisters, I think it's crystal clear that this problem that we're talking about has nothing to do with lack of time. The problem has to do with having the right priorities. The problem has to do with having a willingness in our hearts to put the needs of other people before our own needs. There's a lot more we could say about this, but here's what I want you to take home, okay? I want you to take this home. While the time we have on this earth is a great blessing from God, and it's a blessing to be alive and to have time right here, right now, we got to understand our time needs to be used wisely. Our time is to be used to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. As Paul says, we got to make sure we're not unwise with our time, but wise with it. We got to make sure we make the most of our time because we live in very evil days. We got to use our time wisely. If you've been doing that, if you've been doing these things we talked about this morning, God bless you. Keep it up. Keep going. he being a good steward of your time. But if you haven't, if you've been slacking when it comes to this, then I want to suggest you need to change. And you need to change today. In fact, if you're not a Christian this morning, I want to close by just telling you that today you can begin this journey of being a good steward of your time by obeying the gospel, by believing in the Lord as the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as God's Son and the Christ, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Believe it or not, but doing those things will take you no more than 10 minutes. No more than 10 minutes of your time, but those are the most important 10 minutes you could ever invest in your life. And so if there's anyone here this morning who needs to make the most of their time by obeying the gospel, we're inviting you to come to the front right now as we stand, as we sing.